today's episode, the NCAA still trying in Washington. We get fired up for week one, but why are the good games at noon? And free Joey Chestnut.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Cultured dextrose. They can recite poetry.
Ross Dellinger.
You know, speaking of wieners, Dan.
And SI's Pat Forty.
We should do a live pod from the train.
Here's Pat, Ross, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod, and it's lobbying season for college athletics. All the grand poobahs headed to Washington to meet with our fine public servants we duly elect and send off to make laws and things like that. And fortunately, we have a Washington correspondent, and not just because he likes dive bars that are actually upscale and charge $20 a drink.
I do like those things.
I do like those. But it's served
a good $19 draft beer, Dan.
It's served in a mason jar, though. It's served in a mason jar, so it's very Washington D.C. Yes. Ross, what? Now we've got like some kind of progress. There is potentially something has been written. Something is in a committee. It's going to pass the committee. I watched I Am a Bill on Capitol Hill. I don't all
Schoolhouse Rock, man. It got us through.
Fail to forget where you have to pay off the lobbyist who pays and then hires the senator's brother with the snowplow contract in like your city. But other than that, I thought it was very, very good. Schoolhouse Rock pretty much got the basics. There is a bill on Capitol Hill that is in a committee that might pass, and the NCAA is kind of excited about this thing. What? Don't give us the Schoolhouse Rock version. Okay, you know way too much here. You're too smart. You're smart.
All
I'm
right,
not.
I'll break it down.
What
I'll
is the number one thing like they are trying to get done here, and why?
Well, like Michael Scott famously said, "Explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old." Yeah. I will. Yeah. Well, the number one thing that the NCAA and college leaders want is an exemption from employment, from college athletes being deemed employees.
Why?
In this.
Why? Recap why they. This is their number one priority.
Well, I think probably there are a lot of reasons. They contend that the vast majority of college athletes don't want to be employees, for one. A lot of that majority, right, is probably in Olympic sports and whatever that, you know, sports that don't necessarily generate revenue. But that's the number one reason they say that they fight against
Let me stop again because I'm already complicating it. Why would somebody, Pat, you may know. Why, if you're, let's hope they're not using the numbers from Division III, okay? They probably are.
But, well, they probably are, okay, yeah. Well,
if you're a Division I, I get the Division III, I just want to be an employee because their program will go away because the school can't afford to pay everybody on the team anything. But let's say it's just D1. Why would somebody playing field hockey somewhere not want to be an employee? Do they say?
Well, I mean, I think... What do they say? I don't know.
What do they say, Ross?
Well, I don't. Well, if you're just looking at D1, there's plenty of D1 athletic programs that get their funding, their athletic department funding, from state dollars in the university support in student fees. So you are going to be using student fees and state funding to pay athletes whose sports generate zero revenue. I think that's an issue. And I think a lot of those programs, not just D3, Dan, but I think a lot of those programs in D1 would go away too if they had to pay athletes in an employment model.
Okay, so the NCAA is saying that the majority of the athletes are saying we don't want to be employees because it'll cost so much money we might lose our thing. Our team,
we might lose our sport, our sports program. Yeah, I mean, Charlie Baker,
I ain't buying that.
Last year,
Pat, you buying that one?
No, I don't.
You're
an
expert in being an employee who does not earn back for his company what it's worth. So, what was your
thank you? I'm not buying that either. Yeah. I think that's what. Sounds good for them to say, but you know, I think a lot of athletes probably aren't very well versed on what being an employee would mean. And if their deal right now means I'm getting a scholarship and we've got a team and I've got, you know, a training table and a place to play and all those sorts of things, I don't want to mess with that for something that I don't fully know what it would look like.
Already so getting a good day.
Fear of the unknown.
Maybe that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So right. I don't buy the NCAA that the majority of the athletes don't want to be employees. But proceed. Let's pretend that they are actually correct about this. So why does the NCAA not want? They're not. What is this bill called? Wait, I have you tweeted this out. This is classic.
Yeah, the bill is called the Protecting Student Athletes Economic Freedom Act.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anytime. This is like when the boss tells you they redid the 401k match. Guess what? You're getting less.
Yeah.
Right. That's, hey, we have a new compensation model.
Yes. With more flexibility, i.e. less money.
It's like no, I've seen this act protect. So the people that would be paying the athletes are have a bill named the Protecting Student Athletes Economic Freedom Act.
That's right.
Okay. I'm supposed to believe this is just out of the goodness of their heart that they're looking to protect the student athletes' economic freedom.
That's what they want you to believe. Right. It's a very narrow bill. It's just like 4 or 5 pages. It just focuses on athlete employment and basically prohibits college athletes from being employees. So it would conceivably supersede any ruling by the National Labor Relations Board or any other courts that would deem at a later date would deem athletes employees. It basically says that is against the law. That's what the bill says. The bill is backed by Republicans, a Republican bill in a Republican controlled House. Since the NCAA started lobbying Congress for a college athlete bill for help with all this, that was 5 years ago. We have not seen a bill, and there's been a dozen or more of them. We have not seen a bill reach the point that this bill has advanced this far. We've never seen a bill advance this far, which is a hearing in front of a full committee in one of the chambers. This one is in the House of Representatives. It's in the House Education Committee, and it will be on Thursday. There'll be a full hearing, and not only that, there's expected to be debate on this bill as well as others, and a vote from the committee to advance the bill further, which the next step would be it going to the House floor for a debate and vote from the full chamber. So it is relevant in that we haven't seen this happen until now. We've had all dozen bills or so over the last 5 years. We've had, 12 subcommittee hearings on college athlete legislation. We haven't seen a bill go to the full committee. So it's here. It's happening Thursday. The real question is what happens, right? Once a bill goes through the committee, does it really get brought up on the floor? Does this bill get brought up on the floor? I can tell you the feeling is that that is unlikely to happen as is. So this bill is very narrow. So you can imagine, I'll dumb it down for you, Dan, and the five-year-old way here is this bill needs to be attached to a broader bill in order to pass the House, in order to get enough Democrat support
a rider.
Pass the house, a writer, they call it. So yes, this bill is the mashed potatoes, but you need the turkey in the cranberry dressing, right, in the green beans as well. And all of those things may come at some point, but they haven't advanced that far. So that's kind of like where we're at.
Okay. So what would be the turkey and the cranberries and the green beans? What
Would
be the riders?
Got to get on a defense bill. Defense bill.
The
spilled some F-15s and protect student athletes' economic freedom all at the same time. That does always work. Who says no?
Hey, it's possible that the mashed potatoes could just be debated on the floor and voted on.
Yeah.
There seems to be that being an unlikely point. And if that then would go to the Senate, right, and they would roll their eyes really hard. And I don't think that would happen. So the turkey is probably a bill like Gus Bilirakis's. He's a Republican from Florida, and he's been drafting a bill that's a little more broad, incorporates a lot of other elements to it, and this bill would serve as the anti-employment element. There's another bill that's another kind of writer, let's call that the green beans, and that's in another
this
committee.
This is good.
That's in another committee.
Keep going with the food motif here. Thanksgiving.
And that would give the NCAA that would give the NCAA antitrust protection. So you have this antitrust protection, and you have this anti-employment. The mashed potatoes, the green beans, and the turkey is like the broad bill from Bilirakis. Unfortunately, none of these really things, especially the turkey, the main bill, has bipartisan support. And that's a problem. So that's especially a problem when it gets to the Senate, which is controlled by the Democrats.
This is pretty good. I think everyone deserves 3 credit hours just for this. Just for what?
3 credit hours and a Swanson turkey dinner.
I'm getting hungry, by the
with
way.
With some red wine. I mean, keep it coming.
Getting hungry. So the wolves protecting the chicken coop's ability to walk around and be eaten, Bill, is... No, I'm sorry. I got that one mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
What?
Okay.
Combining Dan's cynicism of government with cynicism of NCAA.
This is coming in feet dragon.
A perfect storm.
Feet dragon. I sense some issues here. No. all right. So why? Okay. So I listen to the fans, right? We talk to fans all the time. They send us things. They leave us 5-star reviews. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Need more of them?
Come on.
Keep going.
They communicate with us. I think most fans are the number one thing they want is the transfer portal to get settled.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think they really care about this other stuff. The paying, whatever, maybe we could have a little more of a little salary kind of cap kind of situation, but that's probably gonna be impossible. They really want this, they want to not have their best player leave every year. Now, whether or not that's some perception more than anything else, for some reason, all of college football has taken on suddenly feels sorry for the Sun Belt and the MAC. Really hard to be a MAC coach now. Oh, okay. All right. Never heard that before, but anyone's taken up the plight of the MAC. But whatever, that's kind of the issue they want. So to me, the way that you solve that problem, the real problem, is was not doing this whole transfer thing in the first place, but B, making them employees and then signing them to contracts. But that would be that if I was trying to say, hey, do you want to solve the issue that most people actually care about? That would not be protecting. None of this would be protecting the economic freedom. But why? Tell me why the NCAA and the ADs and the commissioners and all, why are they anti-employment? Why is this the thing that they've come in and they tried everything in Washington, and now they're down to this skinny bill that will pass some committee and then probably die. Good work. A lot of money. Good job by the lobbyists. A lot of guys heading to Delaware for their beach house, right? Big weekend in Rehoboth. Big weekend on the shore for the lobbyists. But why are they, what is it about the employment that they're so up in arms about?
I think it's several things. I think number one, as we mentioned, right, they believe that the majority of athletes don't want to be employees. Number two, they believe that the majority of NCAA athletic programs will not, cannot, or will not, probably more cannot, pay athletes salaries. And if they have to, they will choose not to, and they'll close the programs. Number three, employment would change a lot of what they just did. They just agreed to the settlement, a new model. As a facet of the new model, or an element of the new model, according to that ACC memo I got a few weeks ago, was you, if an employment does happen, if athletes are deemed employees, you can reshape the model. So everything would change again if they were employees. Number four, and here's the one you might be most interested in.
I'm unimpressed by one, two, and three, so I hope four is a banger.
It would permit athletes to unionize if they're employees. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that college leaders want unionized employees as athletes.
Pat, your thoughts? We've already eschewed number one. So let's not even bother with that.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, first of all, Dan, I think you have nailed it that fans mostly just care about the portal and whether they're, what their team is going to look like year to year, and don't like the transience there. I don't know whether the rest of it matters, that resonates that much to them. And I don't think if athletes are employees that they would suddenly say, oh my God, college sports is ruined, forget it, I'm out. Some of them, I mean, some say that, and I don't believe they're actually out. Everybody says college sports is ruined, but the viewership certainly doesn't back that up. So if it is truly a, we're going to lose programs if we do this, okay, that's a legit, that would seemingly be a legitimate concern. And then if they're, if it's a union thing, I think we've said on this podcast several times, why would you be scared of an athlete union? Because it wouldn't be a very good one. You know, I think it would be pretty easy to deal with from a college establishment standpoint in terms of bargaining and getting things in an advantageous manner for the schools as opposed to the employees.
Well, one other thing. So remember, actually at the, I think it was the last congressional hearing up here, there was a football player from UCLA. I think it was Chase Griffin, the backup quarterback. And there was a softball player there too, I think from Florida State. And each of them testified on this issue of employment. They completely disagreed. Chase Griffin said, employment? Fine. Okay, cool. Yeah, sure. Softball player? No, I'm fine. I'm comfortable in what I have and in enjoying everything. Okay, so there is this section of athletes, and it's probably when you look at all the NCAA athletes, let's just take D1, even all of D1, it's a very small percentage. It's power conference football and FBS men's basketball players who generate a significant amount of money, right? Their sport does, to where they probably earn a good deal of compensation. And we're seeing that with NIL. And those are the groups that probably would be okay with some kind of employment. However, when you do have employment, as Dan mentioned, all of a sudden your freedom to transfer will no longer be there, probably, right? And you could be fired, which happens now. It does. Scholarships are cut now quite a bit. So I get that. But the freedom of movement that athletes have right now would not be there in an employment model. And in this new model coming from the House settlement, it might not be there either, because schools are planning to sign athletes, I think, to contracts. Now, how binding they are, I don't know. But in an employment model, they are binding.
So, So I'm going to go through your four things. One, no way that the athletes are the majority, most, or something like that.
Especially, well, it depends on what group you're looking at.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Here's what a skinny bill that should pass automatically. D2, D3, NAIA, not employees. Preserving certainly D3. I don't know.
So you think the UL Monroe Athletic Department can afford to pay salaries
to
athletes?
I don't think anybody cares about the UL Monroe Athletic Department. Okay? I do. But I don't think the people here
deeply
Yes, deeply. No, I think.
What about the D1 HBCUs who pinned a letter last year basically saying we will all shut down our athletic departments if we have to
carve
pay
them out.
Salaries.
Carve them out as the you can say D2, D3, whatever. If your athletic department makes under $50 million, there's a million ways to preserve small college and struggling thing and say you're not.
You can do
employees.
It by revenue, right? Yeah, you can do it by 50 if you make
not
if
hard.
Your athletic department makes
Holy
at least
crap.
80 million.
I just
or
solved
100
the problem.
Million.
What amazing. Okay, somebody pay me like you pay all them lobbyists. Not buying it. That would be absolutely fine. Whatever line you want to draw, draw the line. But that's number two. The athlete, if you're playing soccer or volleyball somewhere, man, you want to be an employee. I get they're coming after you're transferring anyway. You do have a lot of rights right now, but you're going to make money. You're going to go to college and you're going to make most of these kids on these scholarships. They're not even getting a full scholarship. Now, maybe they add that in. Great. Fill up that compensation. But I don't know anyone who really sits there and says, I would prefer not to be paid for what I'm already doing. There's just no way. Okay. They're not sitting there going, someone who's sitting there as a volleyball player in like the Big Ten is going, I'd prefer not to come away with whatever amount of money you would make at minimum wage, 20, whatever. I'm going to make $14,000 this year. Oh, wait a minute. The UL Monroe cross country team might get cut. No way. That ain't happening. These kids aren't good. They want the money. Three.
Do you think the Florida State softball player who testified in front of Congress was lying?
No, I do not. That would be a crime.
She said she did not want to be an employee.
I'm sure there's somebody out there doesn't want to be an employee. I think if you explain the situation, say you will get, I don't know a lot of people who sit there and say you could have more money or less money for already doing something. I'll give you a weird example. Okay. We went to Russia for the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and we had this meeting with the State Department, or the State Department had this, like, I don't know what, guidance or something. I didn't meet with them, but the guidance. And they said, do not tip the waiters and the waitresses and the bartenders in Russia. They will see it as Western elitism and it'll be insulting. Are you freaking kidding me? I tipped the hell out of those guys. They love me. What person is at work going, wait, free money? Yeah, okay, I'll take that. They figured it out real quick. Nobody got mad at you. Nobody got mad because they got extra money. They're human beings. You want extra money. Oh, wait a minute. How much money am I going to make? You make like 20 bucks, like 15 bucks an hour, 20 hours a week, all these weeks. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Are you kidding me? They're going to take that money. Is somebody out there saying I don't want to be an employee? Sure. But most, if that's explained, most people want money. They would get the money. So I don't buy that reason.
One of the big questions though, Dan, is will they get more money as employees as they do either now or in
NIL?
A new model with revenue sharing?
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, this right. money would more. Be guaranteed right. from mm-hmm. a state, generally a state university. You're feeling pretty good about it. This is not a bad deal. The fact that we can't do this because you just did this house settlement which did not include any actual student group or what, like, that's the tail wagging the dog. And then number four, as we've said many times, this union is going to be so weak. It sounds scary, but it's weak. They're never going to strike. They're never going to even get organized. It's going to the only thing the union would be is the people running the union dipping in on their money. They ain't going to be able to get anything accomplished as actual protective agents to the thing. See, I'm a both sides. Everyone's just trying to snag these dudes' money. The union ain't going to help. They're not going to have any power. The schools aren't out to really help. The Teamsters want in because they're like, hey, man, we can represent 200,000 people and get in on the dues. Sure, we'll do that. Not a whole lot going on. So I don't know. I want to know is how does this solve any of the problems that anyone actually cares about?
Well, I mean, they think that, you know, the new model, I mentioned it earlier, will include schools signing athletes to contracts where you do limit some of the player movement.
So would it be in the school? Would it then by barring them from employees? Would it allow the schools to only sign football, basketball, and a couple other sports, and then they can just, they're not dragged down by these other sports?
No, I don't know. Not necessarily.
Because I could see that as a, like, look, we want to give contracts to our football and basketball teams, and we'll make sure the some women get contracts or it's equal. Whatever, we'll be in compliance or we won't, whatever. But we don't want to have to. I mean, I totally get, like, why would you be paying $15 an hour for, if you got any kind of money to play college sports at the D1 level, you're getting a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think, I'm not saying that these, they already got a great deal. Yeah. But that's why I don't believe the athletes sitting there saying, I already have too good of a deal. I don't want more. I think that if there was a way to say, this is the only way we can preserve, we want to put our money into football or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know what this does. It ain't to protect anyone's economic freedom, though.
No, I just want to go back to the one point about the Monroe cross country team. Okay, nobody cares if you lose that, but where's the line? Where's the line of delineation? How many programs do get lost before people say, no, I don't like this model, especially the athletes who are involved? If 50 cross country teams get whacked and 50 wrestling teams and 50 swimming teams and 50 soccer teams,
should that be the football players' fault?
Well,
it's the football players' obligation now. It's coming out of the football players.
It always has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the issues for sure, right? And it's just like, as we talked about in this new model, if you comply with Title IX, which would mean pretty close to splitting your revenue evenly with men and women athletes, then the football players that generate much of that revenue that you're splitting would have a complaint, a legal complaint, potentially, that they are not getting enough of that money that they are generating. So damned if you do, damned if you know.
They should get it. They should change Title IX. You know, good luck with that.
Well,
there you go.
Good luck with that.
That's a small endeavor.
Yeah, they're not even asking that from lawmakers, because they know no lawmaker, especially in an election year, would dare.
I'd like to rewrite this Title IX.
By the way, a clarification. The softball player in that hearing in January was from Michigan, Caitlin Thull, not Florida State, but she argued the exact opposite, basically, as Trace Griffin from UCLA, that she does not want to be an employee, and she believes that it would negatively impact athletic departments around the country. Also, to Pat's point about, like, you know, the smaller schools, the UO Monroe, whatever, you know, this new model, you know, set aside the employment stuff, and this new model of revenue sharing is going to lead to maybe not the elimination of sports teams and cutting, because I think a lot of administrators have learned that cutting sports is not a good idea, right? You have to reinstate them usually because you get sued, and then it throws Title IX potentially off balance. But what's going to end up happening, you watch, is there's going to be more so tiering within athletic departments of sports, and you're going to have the investment in just a small handful of sports that are more visible, that make the revenue, and the others are going to have a reduction in staffing, scholarships, travel, all that other stuff.
Yeah, I actually did have an administrator who theorized that some men's Olympic sports could become non-scholarship, like the Ivy League.
Club. Yeah.
Maybe not club necessarily, but just non-scholarship, where you're still competing as a varsity sport, and you use the facilities you got there that you built for your varsity sport, but you don't necessarily fund the scholarships or the staff or whatever fully the way it had been.
No one wants to say it. That seems like a good deal to me. Whatever. Like, you're still getting an unbelievable opportunity. Most of the people playing, if they're going to say most people don't want to be employees, I can say most can afford college or have put enormous resources into getting to that level. That's not such a thing. I don't know. I just I forget what I was going to put up before, but on one of the other points, but I would think that if they're looking for the stuff that wants to solve the problems that most people care about in most of the sports that they care about, making football, basketball players, employees, and dealing with a union that has zero power and is as much a money grab as anything else, would be what I would be going for. But
that's maybe where we end up.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know that.
I don't think we're that far from like a pretty good deal here that everything's going to move on.
And to get back, to go back, to circle back to the conversation about Congress, I don't know that because, and I think Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz said this recently or last fall is, you know, he just kind of put it out there, but the Democrats, many of them are backed by unions. And it's very difficult for them to agree to any bill that would have, you know, would be considered anti-union, which would be anti-employment. And so getting a bill with that in it is going to be difficult. And it's probably one of the reasons, maybe many reasons, why Senators Booker and Blumenthal, the Democrats, and Senators Cruz and Moran, the Republicans, that were those four were talking, trying to come up with a bill the last few months. And things have been kind of stalled or paused on that. And a big reason might be the employment issue. And so it's tough to see that getting in a bill, especially on an election year. It's almost impossible. And so at some point in the next year or two, you could have athletes deemed employees, whether it's the Johnson case in Pennsylvania or the National Labor Relations Board, you know, the stuff going on with
Dartmouth Drake, basketball Dartmouth, and USC football, right?
Yeah. So you could eventually have athletes deemed employees. And if that happens and spreads throughout the country in some way, this whole new model would go through an alteration, change.
All right, let's go to break and then talk some actual football. All right, week one is barreling up upon us. Actually, it isn't. It's hot out. It's summertime. Enjoy the summer. But
we can kind of see it out there.
We can see it. Okay, enjoy summer. But see, the thing about summer is I love the summer. And then I get depressed when the summer starts to end. And the only thing that saves me is football. Like, it's like, okay, this is going to suck. Summer's over. But college football begins, NFL begins, and I get excited and I get happy. And my life carries on. I muddle about. The TV lineups are coming out. We already knew these games, but the TV lineups are coming out. ESPN has put out what they have coming up. And I'm just going to give you this weekend. So we're just going to go through this Labor Day weekend, starting Thursday, August 29th. We're not doing week zero. Yeah. Although there is a Florida State and Georgia Tech are playing in Dublin. So that's kind of fun on week zero.
Yeah, we'll all massively overreact to that.
LSU is go. Oh, yeah, we always do. Didn't Northwestern win that thing and then not another game or something once? I don't know.
Yeah. They were winless on American soil, right? Not this last year, but the year before.
Purple's looking good. Yeah. LSU, by the way, is going to this Dublin game in a year. And
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't drink Dublin dry. Okay. Now, this is
not possible.
But, like, there's a little bit of the immovable object and the irresistible force.
That will be a sight to behold.
Don't test them, Dan. They'll do it.
I dare you. I dare you, LSU fans. They got distilleries and breweries like 400 years old, okay? They know what to do over there. But you know what to do. We know you know what to do. So I am intrigued by this. FSU and Tech, respect for FSU, but you're not going to not. Mm. What's the wave is coming. The wave is coming. Anyway, week one, the Thursday night. There will be two particularly good games, one on Fox, North Carolina at Minnesota. And maybe we're not that it's June, so we're very excited about this. Maybe
it's not right, that. Right.
Okay. I didn't lead with the led with a jab. anyway, that's happening. And then North Dakota State at Colorado.
Uh-huh.
It's intriguing because Coach Prime's always intriguing, and you know. We know all the players on his team. How will Shador look? And North Dakota State, I don't know if they're as good as they've been.
They kind of took a back seat to South Dakota State, but still, power program in the FCS level.
Power FCS team. Okay, Friday night, that's just the warm-up, right? Friday night, not a ton. TCU at Stanford is the late-night game. Other than that, we've got Temple at Oklahoma, Florida Atlantic at Michigan State, Western Michigan at Wisconsin. Yeah, you know. Okay, anyway. All right, let's get to it. This is a really good segment.
I will say, TCU Stanford, when Stanford's student body's still like 3 weeks away from even reporting to campus, they're going to have to throw tickets at passing cars to get people in there.
Yeah, that's going to be a half-full stadium.
Big 12 ACC challenge there.
Yeah.
Speaking of your South Dakota State, they're playing at Oklahoma State. We don't know what time. So there you go. There's your... Anyway, it really gets going Sunday, Saturday at noon. And this is a little weird. This noon, we've talked about the noon, big noon kickoff, got these good TV ratings, and all of a sudden noon became the battlefront of television. I'm not feeling this.
Which was always like 7 p.m. was
the battlefront. Can we go back to 7 p.m. TV, people?
Yeah.
Noon on Labor Day weekend, we're going to get Penn State at West Virginia on Fox, I think. Has that been, that's been official?
That's right, on Fox,
Oh, I know it's going to be, the game's going to be on Fox. Penn State at West Virginia on Fox. Cuts down on the Mountaineers getting going. But they will persevere.
Oh, they'll get going.
They'll be riding that little train all night long.
I'm pondering going to that game just to ride the train.
You should.
Why not?
We all should.
Like 3 hours.
We should do a live pod from the train.
From the train and just ride it back. I just stay on it and go back and forth, back and forth.
Stay on it, go back and forth till we're done.
It's not very long, so we'd have many, a few loops.
Many laps.
Yeah, it's not the, it's not like that.
As long as I can go to the dive bar there, the famous dive bar there.
The dive bar there? What one is not a dive bar in Morgantown?
Muffet's?
I don't know. I've been to one there that was, I've been to a few bars in West Virginia, and yes, Morgantown, they would all qualify as dives.
I got to figure out what, because I'm saying it wrong. And
The mason jar is authentic there. It's because they all the actual beer steins were broken in a fight like 12 years ago.
The mason jars used to hold moonshine.
I think it's Mutz, M-U-T-T apostrophe S, Mutz.
Yeah, here we go.
I know that one drunken stupor of a night there, I woke up the next morning and I was in a Mutz shirt that I didn't have on the day before. So I bought a Mutz shirt at the bar. There was pool involved. Like there was a pool game involved. There was plenty of beer involved. And apparently there was a Mutz shirt involved as well. Right. So I bought a Mutz shirt, put it on, and then woke up the next morning. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's a great dive bar. I mean, it was fantastic. Like it was everything you would want, everything you'd want in a dive bar. They had it.
If this game is at 7:30 when it belongs, I would argue this might be the single game. This would be top five game to attend.
Yeah, it'd be.
Alabama's going to Tennessee. I mean, we got some others, right? But this noon still going to be great. Still going to be great, but it's at noon. And on Labor Day weekend, do you want to sit there at noon and watch? Like all the people in Iowa are drunk on that lake. They're out. All the people at Shady Gators down in Missouri, they're on the lake. People go to the beach. They play golf. They do. It's noon on Labor Day weekend. It's not big noon. Yeah. That is a bad noon. Yet we got Penn State, West Virginia, and then at the same time over on ABC, Clemson, Georgia. It's like these two networks are fighting a war over a television window none of us really like. Tell me why, Pat.
I do like the noon
window. Oh, you're old. Except
I am old. But not on Labor Day weekend. I'm with you the first weekend when there's so much other stuff to do. I'm down with that.
I want Congress to consider the Protecting Labor Day Weekend Saturday at Noon Act. No,
there's a writer to the bill.
Yeah, Representative Dan Wetzel.
Yes.
There's a writer.
Austin P versus Louisville. Go get him. I'm not going to stand it. Bucknell at Navy. Have at it. But take your good games on Labor Day weekend and put them at night. What are we doing here, people?
We now recognize the gentleman from the suburbs of Detroit.
Exactly. You know how easy I could solve the problems of this country.
Oh.
I'd ignore them like everybody else. Anyway, we're going to have that. I mean, that's a nice doubleheader. Then right after on ABC, Miami at Florida, which is
juicy.
And then we're going to finish up with Notre Dame at Texas A&M. And mercifully, they're not making the Irish play in the middle. That put that thing at noon, and I'll bet A&M all day long. Still going to be hot. Those are your three big ones. Those are your four big ones that day. There are other really good ones. But let's discuss that slate. Which one you're most excited to see, even if it's at the wrong time?
Well, I'm of two minds of this. I think in terms of high-level game between potential playoff teams and national championship contenders, give me Clemson, Georgia. And I think it's a big referendum game for Clemson, as we've discussed briefly on here. But in terms of the loser's going to feel terrible, Miami, Florida. First of all, it's a rivalry game. You know, they don't play every year, but there's still long-standing rivalry between the schools and the fan bases that interact quite a bit, especially in South Florida. But secondly, like, Billy Napier really needs a good start. And Mario Cristobal really needs a good start. Those are two guys that came in and have not gotten anything done yet. And you don't want to be the loser in that game and have everybody saying, oh, here we go again. We got to get rid of the coach. So that one, to me, for a like stakes to get about who's going to lose, that one really sticks out.
Yeah, the loser of that game, for sure, the next day or the next hour on the team's message board will be absolutely full of fire the coach.
Yeah.
It's Cristobal's third year. It's Napier's, I think, fourth year, right?
And third, I think. Third.
Or third, both third, of them third?
For both, right?
It's amazing. Well, both were like home run hires.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still do those websites like firebillynapier.com and stuff? Remember when that was all the rage?
I'm sure they're around.
Message board have a field day.
Yeah.
This is also start hydrating now again. Like,
holy moly.
Whoever can get
the 3:30 in the swamp.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
You're right, Pat. Yeah. Both of them are good. This is their third year. And so the odds are, especially in Florida's case, if they have too bad of a year and, you know, start with a loss here, if you've seen Florida's schedule, they need to pick up as many wins early in the season as they can, because the last five games of Florida's schedule is just about as difficult of a five-game stretch, honestly, that I have seen in college football, like in the history of college football. Yep. Their last five games this year are as bad and as difficult as I've seen. It's, since I'm talking about it so much, might as well mention it all. Versus Georgia, at Texas, versus LSU, versus Ole Miss, at Florida State. I mean, it is insane. And so they better pick up as many wins as they can. They better get to that stretch at no worse than 6-1. So it doesn't leave you much wiggle room there at all.
6-1. That would require beating Miami, beating A&M, winning at Mississippi State, beating Central Florida, winning at Tennessee, or I guess that's your loss, and then Kentucky.
Yeah, you have one loss. You'd have one loss in there of Miami at Mississippi State, A&M at Tennessee. You got Kentucky in there too.
Yeah.
It's a loaded, loaded schedule.
What strikes me about this, though, is everyone's like, this is a loaded schedule. Billy Napier better find some wins. Like, and I honestly understand there'll be no rational thinking, but like, it's almost like you should be like, yeah, we don't really care how many we win this year. It's like, are we building? Is the team getting better? Are we building? I mean, like,
right.
What is he supposed to do with this schedule?
Yeah. No, this is a situation that would actually require some nuance and some ability to watch the team and say, are we on the right path? Are we moving forward? Are we better than we were the last 2 years? But a lot of people ain't here for that game.
No.
They're just like, are we, you know, win or lose? And if we don't win 8, 9, 10 games, forget it. Fire the coach.
Yeah. And then there's the nightcap, Notre Dame at A&M. Not a fire the coach situation, but a lot of expectations on the Notre Dame season and making the playoffs, in part because of their schedule. It is also the third year for Marcus Freeman. A&M represents a very interesting game for Notre Dame. Obviously, they win that, then they do not have the murderer's row schedule. They get Northern Illinois. They're at Purdue, Miami, Ohio, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State, in late, then they get Virginia, Army, and then they're at USC. And the belief is sort of if Notre Dame can go 10-2, they're in a playoff. So you don't want to lose at A&M and risk, you know, putting yourself on that thing, but you also can get a lot of momentum for Marcus Freeman to build this season into something significant, especially with that defense. So there's some stakes on that, even if they're going into a first-year coaching situation in College Station.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a big game, absolutely a big game. And Elko has some history with Notre Dame. And, you know, I think A&M is desperate to have something to make them believe they're back on the right path after the, you know, debacle of the Jimbo Fisher era. So they would welcome seeing a more physical team, a tougher team, and one that, frankly, can stand toe-to-toe with Notre Dame, and they hope beat Notre Dame.
Big, big game. And, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take Elko to kind of put that, you know, put A&M in a place talent wise and organizationally where they need to be. But, you know, these days, as we all know, there's not a whole lot of patience going around. And when you're at home against Notre Dame, you know, there's an expectation there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they don't look great in that game under a first-year coach, because it may take a little while because of the situation that A&M kind of was left in, so to speak.
Some other good sneaky games here. We're going to talk week one many times, but Wyoming at Arizona State late night. I just wish the Penn State at West Virginia was at night. Then we had the doubleheader, the two-game click back and forth.
Yep.
Yep. Just we don't need this Georgia Clemson at noon. It's Labor Day. What are these? They always call them the suits, right? The TV suits. Yeah. Do they just walk around in suits? Do they have Labor Day off? Do they like ever relax?
No, they don't.
Are they just in suits on Labor Day at noon? That's when you don't.
I will say, hey, the last time those two teams played in a major game, it was at night in Charlotte, and I was there, and it was the worst in and out of a stadium sort of situation I've ever seen. Like, Uber just basically quit. Nobody could get anywhere. The streets are just lined with drunk fans. Just
yes.
Like, how are we getting back home? Nobody could get back to their hotels. So yeah, they might need from 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. on till midnight to get back. It's Atlanta. I have more faith in them than in Charlotte. But
well, they got a little train and stuff. So, yeah.
They
so
do.
That's
they got
it. They moved the game to noon to help the drunken Clemson and Georgia fans get home. I mean, protecting drunk Uber Georgia fan act. Bipartisan support. Sunday night, it's always good.
Oh, yeah. Sunday's a good
USC,
one.
USC, LSU in Vegas. That one should be pretty good. That should be very good. USC, Big Ten SEC matchup here. Certainly Brian Kelly's got a lot of pressure to win that game. Lincoln Riley's got pressure to win that game. It sets a serious tone for the rest of the season. LSU loves playing these big games at this time of year, right? That win a couple years ago over Florida State was significant. They've been involved in a bunch of them. What do you think there, Ross, USC, LSU?
Oh, boy, LSU. We talked about LSU fans in Dublin. LSU fans in Vegas. Yeah. You know, I think the last estimate from talking to people at the school where they were like expecting 25,000-30,000 LSU fans to make the trip out there. I randomly, because my family lives down there in around South Louisiana, and I was looking at flights. Just, I wonder what they're costing now for that weekend from Baton Rouge or New Orleans to Las Vegas. How about a cool $900 for a round trip flight? So they are bought up. Yeah. I'm sure they'll have complete plane loads of LSU fans going up there. That, yeah, it's an exciting one. A lot of pressure again on both coaches, right? I think both are entering their third year as well, I believe. Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley, and that's one where you you know, both the trajectories of the programs, right, started really high in year one, and then kind of expectations were not met in year two. So now what happens in
year three drama?
Both of them, yeah. Both teams replacing Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's true. Big shoes to fill at QB there. And Matt Hayes had an interesting story a couple of weeks ago that USC supposedly had tried for 2 years to get out of this game. Lincoln Riley didn't want to play it, and no such luck. They're in it.
Yeah. Vegas will handle LSU fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vegas doesn't buck. I watched them do the Super Bowl, and Vegas didn't even care. I was like, nothing scaring us. Nothing.
No.
Dublin.
Vegas is hard to rattle.
Yeah, you ain't rattling that. Then the Monday nighter is BC at Florida State. Bill O'Brien era takes over for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And we'll see what
Bill O'Brien and actually, you know, life after the spurning for Florida State.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be, can they be as good as last year?
I'm going to talk myself into being excited about that game. I'm
going to talk myself. Sure.
All right. I do have this to say. I have praise for the NCAA. And I know that sometimes, you know, I think I'm fair to them. I do praise them sometimes, but often when they mean well, they screw it up. But I have found an organization worse than them. I think even the NCAA would look down on this organization. And that is Major League Eating.
Ah!
Major League Eating has decided that in what I consider, and you know, this is a very pro, it's a very pro Joey Chestnut podcast. It was just recently we went through all of his various championships and records, like the time he scarfed down a 14.5-pound boysenberry pie in just 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You ever had boysenberry? I've never even seen a boysenberry.
I've had it. Yeah. Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe I've just had like the syrup that you can get at IHOP, you know, boysenberry syrup. I'm not
like
sure.
Something
I've had
from like a
berry.
Marmaduke cartoon or something like what? Boysenberry. I don't know. Someone out there made a 14.5-pound boysenberry pie and in 2016 threw it in front of Chestnut and he just devoured it. So, but Joey Chestnut, our king, our hero, has been barred from participating in this year's Nathan's International Hot Dog, Nathan's Famous International Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is, you know, every July 4th held at Coney Island. They used to hold it in the streets. Now they do it in the minor league ballpark. The tradition, the origin of this, it went back to 1916 where four immigrants decided to settle a debate on who was most patriotic. And as you would think, the proper metric to figure this out was who could consume the most hot dogs. That's what they came up with.
Of course.
Actually, that story was fake. The Nathan's people admitted later that was not true. I expected more journalistic integrity out of a hot dog cart, but, you know, whatever. But anyway, the Nathan's people are now, and this Major League Eating, which oversees the event, is up in arms because Joey Chestnut, a man who could sit over a plate of 100% all beef wieners and eat them like no one who has ever walked the face of the earth, 76 once, including the bun, in 10 minutes. An epic performance that...
Ugh, it's gross.
7.6 a minute.
Yeah, I just gross.
It's gross. Astounding.
You know, speaking of wieners, Dan.
Yeah. I just had to use the term. You know,
this past weekend,
I don't want to know what you do in your spare time.
Wait, no, it's not what you think. It's not what you think.
Call HR, Kate,
Dan.
Been harassed.
This past weekend, I boiled shrimp. I had a shrimp and crab boil at the house here in DC. And for the first time ever in a seafood boil, I put in the boil. The small smokies.
Oh, okay.
The little smokies. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, man. Fantastic. Yeah. We had no wieners left. They were all eaten up, gobbled up like you wouldn't believe.
I'm not surprised.
Better wiener story than I was afraid we were going to get.
I got nervous. I don't know what kind of podcast you think this is. Well, anyway, I mean, Chestnut, he's won 16 times. He's won the golden yellow belt 16 times, including the last 8 consecutive. You know, watching him perform, it's like watching, you know, Jordan soar through the air, you know, Tiger with a driver in his hand. I mean, it's just, it makes you feel good about being an American. And we're going to get cheated out of it, because the man who is better at eating 100% all beef hot dogs than anyone ever signed an endorsement deal with Impossible Foods, which produces a hot dog that is 0% beef. So Joey Chestnut is now sponsoring vegan hot dogs. And as such, he's been barred from competing in the Nathan's event. Now, somewhat murky. There's some part to this that makes sense, because he wants to eat the vegan dogs instead of the actual beef dogs. I would think that would be a competitive advantage. Maybe. I don't know. But I would think it's probably lighter, maybe. I don't know.
Man,
I looked up what's in this crap, and I don't even know. There's also the disappointment that Joey Chestnut is pushing vegan dogs. But, you know, hey, who doesn't need some, you know, some soy, more soy in their life. But mainly, we're getting cheated. We're getting cheated out of seeing one of the prime athletes, one of the great Americans, do his thing because of Major League Eating not having a good NIL deal, not having good NIL legislation. I want Congress. Would you call Ted Cruz, your buddy Ted Cruz, on this?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get
Cruz? Ring them right up.
Cruz and Booker, they got to come together on this. Joey Chestnut needs to compete in the hot dog contest.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Figure it out. If we need, I'm not big on government. I'm big on this. Step in.
Maybe I'll bring it up at the hearing Thursday.
Would you please?
Yeah, why don't you?
Make yourself useful for a change. Yeah. Pat, what the hell is wrong with this country when Joey Chestnut cannot win the Nathan's International Hot Dog Eating Contest?
Well, clearly, you know what? This reeks of some political grandstanding, which will eventually lead to somehow him buying his way into the contest or something with these releases that have been put out and referring to him as an American hero, which I did think that was pretty precious.
Precious?
Name one better.
Name one better. Go ahead.
American hero?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Couldn't even try.
I think not. Yeah.
Yeah. First man to walk. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. No.
I mean, other people have walked on the moon, Pat. No one has eaten 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. No one.
Okay. Point taken.
NASA could shoot you up there and you open the door and throw you out. You'd be walking on the moon too.
Somebody had to go first.
I see Neil Armstrong eat 76 hot dogs.
I don't want to see that.
Speaking of bad scheduling, I'm sorry, I'm going to do a mini hijack here, but the fact that this is like the signature sporting event on 4th of July every year tells you how badly the networks have screwed up 4th of July. Like, the Belmont Stakes should be run on 4th of July because there's nothing else going on. So
what about getting drunk in your backyard while cooking your own hot dog?
Well, and turn on a horse race for 2.5 minutes.
Yes, you're right.
Horse racing's stupid, but anyway, Here's another scheduling hijack, too. I figured out what you do with West Virginia and Penn State. You play on the afternoon of Sunday of September 1st. So that, you know what? There's nothing going on that day in the middle of the afternoon.
4:30?
Yeah, exactly. Play then. As opposed to a crowded noon Saturday. Anyway, now back to the point.
Mm-hmm. This is a very important topic, Pat. Very serious podcast, and you're just screwing around.
I've double hijacked it. So I acknowledge the affront to decency here. But let the man bring his own hot dogs in. Let him go vegan. If they weigh them and they find there's different density or something, you add a degree of difficulty or a penalty. He's got to eat two more than the other guys or whatever. You figure out a way to weight it, handicap it, kind of, so to speak.
Like a Connor Stallions. Let the man, he's getting an advantage.
Yeah, if he's getting an advantage here, we balance it. But let the man come in, be in the contest. Let the contest happen. Yes, with Joey Chestnut.
Does this... If he doesn't compete, I mean, does it even count?
Does it even happen?
A lot of people's minds, probably doesn't. Asterisk. Yeah, there's an asterisk there. Yeah, if it doesn't happen. So he's not going to end this sponsorship deal, I guess? I guess he's not going to end this sponsorship deal. He must be making real money with that.
Do you know how much publicity he just got for Impossible Foods? They owe him more money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this I'm is not sure this is moved by them. Yeah.
I mean.
Genius.
Yep.
I have a feeling this will get worked out, and this was all a publicity stunt, but maybe I'm a little cynical on the motivations of the competitive eating world.
You wrote a column about it. You
shouldn't disparage them. They're probably like the master's committee, right? Impossible Foods is excited that Joey, I mean, it really great marketing by them. I mean,
it is.
This is like they just showed Air the other night on TV, you know, the Michael Jordan, Sonny Vaccaro, Phil Knight, all this stuff, Nike movie. Awesome movie. Great movie. It's like, you know, one of the great sports marketing moves of all time. Obviously, they get Michael Jordan to go to Nike and boom, they've made billions and billions. But somebody was on their game when they said, hey, look, no one's buying these vegan dogs. Like, I mean, we get the vegans. Mm-hmm. Do vegans really want to eat hot dogs? They seem like, I don't know. Let's get.
It's not really a hot dog.
Whatever it is. It's like encased whatever.
It's like that Starbucks sandwich that I ate for years and thought it was real meat.
Yeah, you're a vegan.
And I've only had like one since.
See? You found out Santa Claus wasn't real.
I feel like I need to eat something that had parents. an ode to Julia Louis Dreyfus and Seinfeld, of course.
This dog here, whatever this thing is made up of water. That's the first ingredient, water.
Okay.
Wheat,
sounds
gluten,
delicious.
Sunflower oil. I don't know why I'm doing this because clearly we're going to get to some ingredients I can't pronounce. Coconut oil. The ever famous natural flavors. Salt. Methyl cellulose.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Meth. There's got meth in this thing? All right. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Spices. Just spices. Thank you.
Whatever we're grabbing off the shelf.
Cultured dextrose. Okay. That's good. I wouldn't want an uncouth dextrose. Dextrose that like wears their shoes on your carpet. Cultured dextrose. They can recite poetry. Yeast extract. And a bunch of other crap. It's in a casing. But anyway, I mean, somebody came up. Let's hire Chestnut. Chestnut on this. The guy most famous for eating the hot dogs, other than Kobayashi, who he defeated. Yeah. Although Kobayashi's he's got some deal too. He can't compete.
Jaw deal, right?
Yeah, he can't compete in this thing either. Yeah. Like, what is this? Huh? We got to get the. It's like boxing. They're screwed it all up. Yeah, I want Chestnut Kobayashi 1-on-1 rival programming. Will destroy the Nathan's thing. Get Don King on the phone. And then like in Air, like in the Nike with the Michael Jordan, they go, well, he's going to get fined because the shoe has to be all white. And Jordan's was like red and black, right? And the NBA is going to fine him. And Nike says, we'll pay the fine. And that was the best publicity ever, because it's like the shoe that was outlawed by the NBA. Well, this is it. So not only do you sign this famous hot dog eater and say he actually prefers whatever the hell I just announced, methyl cellulose. And I don't know what's in a hot dog either, by the way. It's not like there's some pure.
No, we don't want to know.
Just says 100% all beef. Doesn't say much more than that. But then you throw the whole I mean, this Impossible Burger marketing people, Impossible Dog, I mean, small sample Heisman, great work.
Yeah, no, it's genius. It is. If you want people to pay attention to a product they would never probably consider or buy, then get the most famous hot dog eater on the planet to endorse it.
Will you try one?
No, you just read the ingredients.
Yeah, the ingredients don't sound appetizing. Neither does the ingredients of the Impossible Breakfast Sandwich from Starbucks.
that you ate for a year.
I pulled that up.
Just to recap, if you missed this, Ross ate this sandwich for a year, not knowing it was vegan.
Yeah.
And then once he knew really it was good. Vegan, it stopped tasting good.
Yeah. I mean, you look at like the nutritional facts, it's like, man, this is pretty good for having sausage on it and egg and whatever else. And then, I was eating it one time at the kitchen counter of my grandma's house, and my uncle walked by and was like, oh, I didn't know you ate, you know, vegan. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then the rest is history.
There's no way he said it like that. He said it with some scorn.
He probably could have been some insult in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was more insult in the tone, you might
say. Hey, everybody, Ross is a vegan. Get that.
Yeah. Yes.
Get the crosses. Yeah. We need to exorcise them. All right. Well, free Joey Chestnut. Bring back the integrity of the Nathan's International Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's July 4th. It's our country's birthday. We need Chestnut woofing down hot dogs at a minor league ballpark in Coney Island. This is my platform. Vote for me. Clearly, we are done here. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I don't know why you did, but we appreciate you. Continue to share us with your friends, maybe. I don't know. Come back next time. We'll probably do a better job. Anyway, talk to you later.